It is 7:41. This is KDNK Carbondale. It is time for your KDNK local newscast for this Monday morning, December 26th. I'm Steve Cole, live from the heart of Carbondale's Creative District. Town Trustee Katrina Byers is outspoken about her advocacy for affordable housing in Carbondale. And yet earlier this month, when the board voted to adopt new community housing guidelines for including affordable rentals and new developments, she cast the sole no vote. News Director Gavin Dahl sat down with her late last week to learn more about her position.
So at the trustees meeting on December 13th, the discussion about affordable housing guidelines ended up with a vote, with the rest of the board voting yes and you voting no. Mm-hmm. You had expressed concerns on a couple of key issues, and I wanted to just ask you to let our listeners know a little bit more about this. So first, on the full-time work requirement, you expressed that the language as it stands now would make it harder for people to qualify. Your fellow colleague Heather said she would support tweaking it to make it more inclusive, but in the end, those changes were not made at the trustee meeting earlier this month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. You know what? Part of my concern was that, you know, we are wanting to help a group of people stay in Carbondale, and essentially that is just regular folks who are working our regular jobs, doing labor and service in Carbondale and in our area. And so, you know, there was the feeling that one of the requirements should be full-time. And that's actually kind of a philosophical position, that people shouldn't be given any help unless they, you know, kind of fit into a very traditional framework of how you're supposed to live your life. It's almost an attitude imposed on lifestyle choice. So if someone, for example, is working 4 shifts a week as a waiter or waitress, or I have one friend who is a single mom, and I said this in the meeting, that for her it's prohibitively expensive to pay for childcare to work full time, and so she has reduced hours.
Mayor Dan Richardson said, well, let's adopt this and modify it later. What about this issue of disability?
I, at all times, am on the lookout for where we are excluding the 2% of our population that is constant in this category. And the law is very clear about universal inclusion, and in all of our public events and public buildings, and even in some cases where private businesses are neglecting that need, I think it's really important to be sure that no one is being discriminated against based on different abilities. So for that to even be mentioned in our housing guidelines, to me, was already kind of an exclusion. I mean, I don't think a disability should play into it at all, but I think the specific language was that someone who was disabled could qualify for an affordable rental if they were working full-time prior to this disability. Essentially, if you were born disabled or have had a disability for 10 years or move here with a disability, you can't qualify for an affordable rental. And that, to me, is not consistent with the intent of who I think we are trying to include in this, which is, you know, any person who, for whatever their private circumstances, needs to qualify for an affordable rental and can afford to pay for it. You know, I think those are the questions we need to ask.
The other big inclusivity piece was around the requirement of a valid Colorado driver's license or some form of alternate state or federal ID, and then also mention of documentation like vehicle registration and voter registration. What was your concern with that?
Just calling out that specific document is not equitable because not everybody has one. To me, all I wanted was for any other form of ID to also be valid for that, because it does say that all of them can be recorded. And part of the argument around not changing any of these things is that the people who decide on whether someone qualifies or not can be flexible in their decision. But my experience, my personal experience in having to apply for these types of programs, is that that's not how the requirements are interpreted. If you don't have the list of things required, then you are immediately filtered out over people who have every single requirement. So requirements that aren't directly tied to the reason the person qualifies for the house, to me, should just be eliminated.
So Town Manager Jay Harrington said, oh, not to worry, if there's some question around interpretation, this committee that reviews these will be able to be flexible. What's your reaction to that?
Well, sure. I mean, I trust Jay Harrington to come from a place of probably compassion and flexibility around the stringency of these guidelines. However, in 10 years, Jay Harrington isn't going to be the person who is in charge of it. It can be anyone that comes from a whole host of philosophies, and maybe the people on that committee have decided that they don't want to help single moms.
And so then talk about this issue of utilities. At the beginning of this discussion at the trustee meeting back on December 13th, town planner John Laybourne said Carbondale could look in the future at doing your own charts. This is looking at percentage of area median income, which is used to determine rental rates for units to be counted as affordable. You pointed out that utility rates are not included in rental amounts everywhere. That's a decision, a choice that local jurisdictions can make. And I believe John said basalt doesn't include them?
I think that's right, yeah.
At the meeting, you said your position is counterintuitive. Can you explain?
Well, sure, because I think they wanted to include the utilities in the cost of the rental as a benefit to the person so that they don't have to additionally have to pay for utilities on top of their rental. But the other side of that is what you're doing is telling a landlord that not only do they have to cap the cost of rent, but then they have to absorb $100 to $250 a month of utilities. And not only that, but when somebody isn't even seeing or paying for their utilities, there's no sort of check on reducing them. You know, there's.
So you're worried this is a disincentive for the potential affordable housing landlord.
Yeah, and exactly. And so finding a rental that is, you know, for a two bedroom in Carbondale, $1,100 under the affordable guidelines, and that includes all of the utilities, I think it's a disincentive for a renter. And then it just makes it a lot more difficult to find. In my experience, when I've had to look for those types of situations, it's really rare to find a landlord who is willing to do that because they're basically, you know, agreeing to pay whatever quantity of utilities you spend and they have to absorb it. We're dealing with people that are of limited means, and you can apply for assistance on different types of utility programs. In that situation, there's LEAP, for example, for the heat utility. But if it's included in rent, all of those things are much more difficult to do. And so, you know, I just felt like that created a conflict and actually takes away a resource for people who really identifiably are the people who need it the most.
Well, I want to ask you one last question, Katrina. When you ran for mayor, certainly Dan Richardson had a lot of support in the community and ended up ultimately winning the race. But one of the things that the Post Independent wrote and that others of your supporters said was that it was really important to have your perspective on this board as someone who's actually been through the pursuit of affordable housing. Never was this positioned as a critique of the other candidates or the other members of the trustees, but that you offer a unique perspective. You said in this meeting that you sometimes feel like your personal experience is not taken seriously. Care to comment?
I feel like my personal experience is completely disregarded in the meetings. I'm not sure that my colleagues would necessarily feel that that's what they do, but it's generally treated and even called anecdotal and is not really used to inform the conversation. I mean, in this instance, and one of the things I said in the meeting is I have had to look for affordable rentals under the Garfield County Fair Housing Guidelines, and the experience of having to live under these programs and face the limitations of our housing market give me a different and unique and in this case really valuable insight into whether or not things that we have in place are working. And so basing our programs on systems that in my experience already are not working isn't improving the situation. So for me, you know, I find people who have direct experience with what we're talking about very valuable. But when the instance of talking about affordable housing, I don't really feel like my perspective is valued and if anything is kind of disregarded.
Katrina Byers, outspoken advocate of affordable housing in Carbondale, town trustee and manager of the Dandelion Market. Thanks so much for speaking to Katie and Kay.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Despite the concerns expressed by trustee Katrina Byers, Garfield County Housing Authority Executive Director KT Gazunas praised the town's new guidelines for community housing, telling the Post Independent last week that Carbondale is, quote, very forward-thinking and at the cutting edge to keep workforce housing and other kinds of housing in the community. Ski resort counties are some of the wealthiest in Colorado, but they're having a harder time connecting people who need assistance than poorer counties. Eric Galatis explains.
Ski resort counties with some of the highest income levels per capita in the state are falling short when it comes to connecting their eligible lower income residents to food assistance programs. That's according to new research by the group Hunger Free Colorado. Eagle, Pitkin, Rout, and Summit counties have some of the lowest rates of SNAP enrollment statewide. Joelle McClurg, the report's co-author, says local economies and struggling families are missing out.
enrolling a few thousand more folks in food stamps, that can bring millions of dollars in revenue and economic stimulus to the local communities. But we're finding on average that these people who are eligible for the program, they're not enrolling in those benefits. There are barriers there.
The study found while the state's richest counties had lower enrollment rates, poorer counties delivered services to a higher percentage of people eligible for assistance. McClurg says word of mouth between neighbors who know how to navigate programs is likely missing in wealthier counties, and people may experience more stigma or shame accepting public benefits in more affluent communities. McClurg notes 1 in 5 families with children across the U.S. is eligible for SNAP benefits, and given the lack of affordable housing in ski areas, he says people working full-time at low wages have a hard time making ends meet. The report recommends counties invest more in outreach to help residents determine their eligibility and enroll. McClurg says even small adjustments, such as making websites easier to navigate, can make a difference.
Explaining benefits and how much folks may be eligible for more clearly, and maybe increasing office hours as well. That would be an opportunity to get working families in the door in a way that is convenient to them.
He says getting working families the nutrition they need helps them reach their full potential and be more focused and engaged members of their community. This is Eric Galatis reporting for KDNK.
KDNK will feature more on this story Wednesday with an interview of an organizer from Hunger Free, Colorado. A coal lease modification was approved by the Bureau of Land Management last week, allowing Peabody Energy's 20-mile coal to access an estimated 340,000 additional tons of federal coal from Foidle Creek Mine, an underground mine about 20 miles southwest of Steamboat Springs. According to Steamboat Today, the lease involves 310 acres underground in the existing mine, which has been utilized by 20 Mile since 1983. Foidle Creek Mine is made up of 6 federal, private, and state coal leases and currently produces about 7 million tons per year, according to numbers from the BLM. Carbon emissions from burning coal are one of the leading causes of global warming. From mining to processing to transportation to burning to disposal, coal has more environmental impacts than any other energy source. The city of Glenwood Springs offers Christmas tree recycling to residents, which helps keep organic material out of the landfill. Real Christmas trees can be dropped off to the leaf collection site near the airport. Directional signs to the drop-off site have been installed along Midland Avenue. Trees must be free of ornaments, wires, lights, and tinsel.